See, this is one of my favorite stories. This is being the, I suppose, great-grandson of Abraham, Joseph. The story is, it's a very common story, but it's a story that I believe the Lord have us look at today. Now, culturally speaking, in the First Nation groups that we'll be working with, in Nuvialet culture, they're a storytelling people. They love to tell stories and love to tell a lot of the folklore there is told in story form, and there's always a moral to the story. If someone is having a discussion with you and they want to convince you of something, oftentimes they'll tell you about my uncle who did this and this and this. They'll tell you another story about, and then my cousin had this happen and this happened and this happened. And at the end, they may never look at you and tell you flat out, this is what you need to learn from that, but you need to listen. And you learn from the experiences of others. And so that's the way that they learn there. So forgive me this today. I'm going to do that a little bit with you all. We are going to go very quickly through the life of Joseph, very quickly, in story form as we read through here. And hopefully everything comes together here at the end of the message. We'll start off in chapter 37, and we'll start in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my chief. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father, and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for staying everything given to us. Lord, I thank you for sending your son down on the cross for us and loving us when we are unlovable. Lord, I ask you, please work through your word today. There's nothing I can do apart from you. Lord, if anything is done here today, it'll be because you did it, Lord. And I ask that you'd please use your word, work in hearts. If anyone here does not know you as Savior before they leave, I'd ask that you'd bring them to a saving knowledge of you. And Lord, I ask for every single one of us here today that before we leave, we'll be at least a little bit more like you. I ask these in your precious holy name. Amen. Amen. Now, this is a common story. Most of you have probably heard the story of Joseph and this coat of many colors. I mean, it's everywhere. There was, of course, as off as it was, there was years ago a Broadway play that came out that was about this story, supposedly about this story. There was a cartoon I remember in the 90s that came out, a cartoon movie about the story that was better than the Broadway play, but still probably wasn't quite right. I don't have a real clear memory of it. This is a common story that many people know, and so bear with me as we go through. Joseph is given this dream. Now, Pastor, you mentioned earlier that people today have God's word. We have the finished canon of Scripture. We can go through the Bible. We can read. We can learn about the Lord. We can learn what He would like us to know about Him. And as we do our devotions, it is a good idea to study God's word to see what His will is for our lives. And can I tell you that if ever you believe God's will is thus or this or that, and it doesn't match up with God's word, stop. Keep reading. Because if what you want to do doesn't match up with God's word, I promise you, it's not God's will. It's not God's will. But during this time, they didn't have the written word of God. And so, as the pastor mentioned before, they would go to the altar. They would pray to God. They would seek his face. At times, God would meet and speak verbally to these people. At times, he'd give visions. At times, he'd give dreams. And in this case, it seems that the Lord has given Joseph a dream. The first one being that these sheep would bow down to Joseph, and then the next being that these sheaves would bow down to Joseph. The sheaves would bow down to Joseph, and then that the stars and the moon and sun would bow down to Joseph. The moon and the sun being, of course, his mother and father. And so he gives these two dreams. And now we know, because we have the full canon of Scripture, we see the whole story, we understand that this is God's word. The Lord showed these things to Joseph. He showed him what would happen one day. Joseph was giving a prophecy from the Lord, and his brothers, they reject it. His brothers are offended by it. They're hurt by it. Even his own father looks at it and says, well, you think that your mother and I are going to bow down to you? And they doubt him. Now, we can credit his father that it says that he observed the saying. He remembered that saying. He thought about it. He didn't just punish his son for saying something like that, but he did rebuke his son. Can I tell you that you and I have a job to preach God's word? We have the job to communicate God's word truthfully, all of God's word. And at times, unfortunately, and by the way, it should never be done in a way that's intentionally insensitive. It should be done in a loving manner, but there are times where when you preach God's word, it will offend. Jesus even said that the world hated him. Should we be surprised that it hates us too? They hated him first. And so he comes to his brothers, and his brothers hate him for giving them the truth of God's word. Understand, of course, that they didn't believe that it was truly God's word, but we know that it was. We see again, I said we'll be going kind of quickly through here. Verse 23, we'll skip to verse 23. Excuse me, we will go to 37, verse 23, that's right. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat and his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it that if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. Now we see his brother, Joseph goes to check on his brothers. I didn't read all of that, but his father sent him to check on them. And he goes to check on them, and he's captured by his brothers, and he's thrown into a pit. They originally wanted to kill him, but Reuben looks at them and says, no, that he knew that his dad would be mad at them. And so he says, no, let's not do that. You know how much dad loves Joseph. Let's just put him in the pit, and let's abuse him. Let's beat him up a little bit. Let's rough him up some. Let's make him wish he were dead. And his plan was to come back later and rescue Joseph out of that pit. Unfortunately, that didn't happen because while Reuben was gone, the other brothers had this great idea. Oh, look, there's Ishmaelites coming, slave traders. Let's sell him into slavery. Now, the reason that I'm going through the story is simply this. We have a job to do to preach God's word to people. We do. If we are faithful to that job, unfortunately, some people will at times be offended. Unfortunately, sometimes whenever we preach God's word, and even in a loving manner, some people may not want to hear it. Some people may not be interested in us. And can I tell you that at times, some people will mistreat us. There are some circumstances that come into our lives as Christians that aren't always convenient, aren't always comfortable. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. I always find it interesting that whenever someone starts telling others whenever someone gets saved, at first they're excited. They can't wait to tell all their friends and their family about the Lord and tell them about how they can know they can be saved as well. And they start telling people, and those people aren't as excited as they are, and they get discouraged, and they get quiet, they get embarrassed, and they stop sharing the gospel because of that. Then let's take it a step further. Maybe some persecution occurs. Now, our idea of persecution is much milder than this. Our idea of persecution might be someone mocking, making fun, criticizing us. That's our persecution. Persecution for Joseph was being thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. Joseph was the favored son of Jacob. Joseph had this coat of many colors. He was essentially, because this was a whole new people group, this was a whole new ethnic group, he was essentially a prince in this people group. And now he's humbled and humiliated and made a slave. Let me ask you something. What does it take in your life for you to step back and be unfaithful to your Lord? See, Joseph is faithful to the Lord. He preaches God's word to his brothers. He tells them the dream that he was given, and he's thrown into a pit and put into slavery. And we see, as we skip on to
you all are my guinea pigs, and so I apologize. Verse 39, chapter 39, we'll skip there.
38 talks a lot about Judah, but we are going to go back to the story of Joseph here. In chapter 39 and verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house, and the Lord all, in the house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, Joseph is sold into slavery, and I find this interesting. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. It was clear to anyone who saw Joseph that the Lord was with him. And that Lord is, again, all capitals. That's Jehovah. It wasn't just, oh, the Lord, some God is with him. No, the people that were around Joseph recognized, although he was humbled, although he was a slave, although he was in a position that was uncomfortable, though he was somewhere that he didn't want to be, that he never would have asked to be, somewhere he shouldn't have been, and he was there wrongly sold into slavery, but the Lord was still with him, and the whole entire world could see it, even his master, the Potiphar. And so Potiphar gives him everything he has in the house and puts it under the authority of Joseph, and Joseph serves him faithfully and serves the Lord. Of course, then comes temptation. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read. You all know the story, and you can come back and read anytime. I ask that you would read, maybe even this afternoon, read through the story. Potiphar's wife comes to Joseph, said in the end that he was a goodly person and well-favored. Joseph apparently was an attractive guy. He was a good-looking guy. The Lord did bless him in that way. He was a good-looking guy. And Potiphar's wife, who I assume was an attractive lady, sees him, and she comes to him, and she tempts him, says, come and lie with me. She wanted him to commit adultery with her. Now, I went to the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina growing up, went there every year, and there was one year that we talked about the life of Joseph. That was the theme that we covered, and it was about character. The definition they gave of character at that camp has stuck with me my whole life since then. Character is the idea, is this idea. Imagine for a moment that God could cover his eyes and that everybody, no one in the world knew what you were going to do, and you would get away with it so much to the point that God himself wasn't watching. What would you do? If you had one day where God wasn't looking and he wouldn't know what you were doing, what would you do? Joseph was by himself. None of his people, none of his brothers weren't there. His father wasn't there. There was nothing stopping him from doing this. Potiphar wasn't going to see this. But he still rejects this advance from Potiphar's wife. He had character. Finally, one day he's working and doing, going about his business, doing what he's supposed to be doing. He comes in the house, it's empty, and Potiphar's wife is there, and there's no one else. She grabs him by the coat and she tries to force him to do that. Again, no one's looking. No one's watching. Nobody knows. His father, his brothers, they're miles and miles away. Clearly, God has forgotten him. He preached God's word, and what did it get him? It got him put in slavery. And he's here, and he's being tempted. He's being tempted to sin. He runs from her so fast that he actually leaves his coat behind. It actually gets ripped off of his body as he runs away. Potiphar comes home, and his wife gives the whole story, but she changes it to suit her needs. She says that this Hebrew came in, and he comes in, and he mocked her. Or the idea is that he came in, he tried to rape her. That's what she tells him. He is falsely accused of a sin that he did not commit, and he's thrown into prison. Joseph is faithful to the Lord. He obeys the Lord. He shows character. He rejects those advances. He comes out of the temptation unscathed, and he's still thrown in prison for a crime he didn't commit. I wonder if Joseph, while he was sitting in prison, thought back and said, you know, if I would have just given in to that temptation, I wouldn't be in prison right now. Because no one would have known. She wouldn't have told anybody. At this point, a lot of us would be bitter against God. I've been faithful to you, Lord. I preached your word. You put me in slavery. Lord, I was faithful to you. I made sure everybody knew that I was your child. And I served you faithfully. And I was tempted. I was still obedient to you, Lord. Lord, I went through that temptation and I trusted you. And here I am in prison. But Joseph is there and he's still faithful to the Lord. And it's clear that the Lord is with him. And the guard gives to him everything. The guard trusts Joseph to the point of which he is over all the other inmates in this prison. And so he's there, and one day the Pharaoh sends two men. Apparently there was an attempt on the Pharaoh's life. There are two men. There's a butler and a baker. The butler, who was the cupbearer for the Pharaoh, and then the baker, who was some form of a chef for the Pharaoh. Apparently someone tried to poison the Pharaoh, I guess. And they're there, and they both have a dream. The cupbearer has a dream about three vines, and those three vines he takes and he makes wine. He takes it to the Pharaoh and gets to serve the Pharaoh. And then the baker has carrying three baskets on his head, and crows come and eat from those baskets, whatever food he had in those baskets. And Joseph comes, and he sees that they're both troubled, and they're both worried about something. And he asks them, what's wrong? What's troubling you? And they tell him the story. And he looks at them and explains to them very quickly that he knew the Lord, and he could tell them he could tell them what those dreams meant. And he tells the butler that in 3 days you will be back in the Pharaoh's court. You'll be let go out of prison, and you'll be back to work where you were before. And he looks at the butler. He tells that, and he looks at the baker, and he says, "In 3 days, you're going to be hanged." He looks at the butler, and he asks him one thing. He says, "When you go back to the Pharaoh's court, do me a favor and remember me. Tell the Pharaoh about me. Tell him that I'm here. Tell him about what I did for you today. That the Lord allowed me to tell you what this dream means." The butler apparently agrees, and they go. And of course, 3 days later, the baker is killed, and the butler goes back to Pharaoh. And what does the butler do? He forgets. He forgets him completely. Now, if I'm Joseph, I'm going to have trouble. I preach God's word. I'm thrown in a pit. I'm abused. I'm mistreated. I'm humbled. I'm humiliated. I'm put into slavery. Then I go and I serve the Lord. Even in that lowly, humbled state, I still serve the Lord faithfully. And temptation is brought into my life, not from the Lord, but the Lord allows me to be in a place where temptation is brought into my life. I reject that temptation. I flee from temptation. And then I'm wrongfully accused and I'm thrown into prison. Even there, I'm faithful to the Lord, and in prison, I am forgotten by everyone, and I'm left to rot. Well, you all know the story. Pharaoh has a dream of his own. He has seven cattle that are healthy, and seven cattle that are skinny and sickly and are dying, and the seven sickly cattle eat the seven healthy cattle, and then he sees the same thing with wheat. He sees seven healthy wheat, and he does the same thing, and no one Nobody in Pharaoh's court can give him an answer. Nobody knows what these dreams mean. But suddenly the butler remembers Joseph. Maybe I'm being harsh on this butler. Maybe I'm being mean. I think maybe the butler remembered Joseph and thought, hey, here's a chance for advancement. I know this guy that I can get over here. And so for, in my thinking, his own selfish reasons, he says, hey, I know a guy from prison that can come up here. And so the Pharaoh calls Joseph in. Joseph gives him the dream. He says, listen, you have 7 years of plenty, more food than you'll know what to do with. And 7 years of famine where everything's going to be gone. People will starve and die. He gives the Pharaoh some advice, some very good advice. He says, pick out a wise man to go and do the job of stockpiling all of this corn, all of this food and wheat, and let him stockpile that first 7 years so that in the second 7 years we can survive and have more than we need in the next 7 years. Pharaoh looks around. He tries to find a wise man. And he realizes there's not a single person in this court, in this whole entire country, really, that's as wise as Joseph. Why? Because of Joseph's relationship to the Lord and Joseph's ability to discern God's will. And so finally we see Joseph is exalted for once. Joseph is raised up. He is the second in command over all of Egypt. And Joseph does the work that he had suggested, and Egypt is spared. Egypt is saved from this coming famine, so much that Jacob and his sons, his surviving sons, and that he thinks are the surviving sons, the sons that he has at home, are starving, and they come seeking shelter from Egypt because they've heard that Egypt is doing well. Through a whole long story of things, Joseph does reveal himself to his brothers. They move Jacob back over to Egypt. Jacob finally gets to see his son alive. In Genesis chapter 50, Jacob does pass away. He makes his children promise to take to bury him back in the promised land. And Joseph is now still second in command over Egypt. And his brothers realize, our dad's gone. He was the one thing that kept us alive. We sold our brother into slavery. He was enslaved. He was imprisoned because of us. And they come to Joseph, as in verse 18 of chapter 50. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. His brothers come to him scared. They're groveling. Please don't kill us, Joseph. Please. Remember, we're your family. Remember, we serve the same God that you serve, Joseph. Don't kill us. It's interesting that now they serve the same God that Joseph did. Now they're interested in God's word. Joseph looks at them, and with grace, he looks at them and says, you know, you meant it for evil. All those circumstances that I went through, they were because you wanted to hurt me. But God, he meant it for good. He allowed me to go through those things because I went through those things, many people are saved alive, not just Israel. But Egypt. And we don't know how many other nations were saved because of this. Here's the thing that I find interesting. Chapter 37, 39, and 40 talk about all the problems that Joseph went through. All the sufferings that Joseph went through are covered in three chapters. But in 41, he's exalted. And from 41 to 50, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 chapters. We see Joseph is exalted. Joseph is in a position of power. Joseph, God uses Joseph to save many people alive. That short time, though I'm sure it felt like forever, that Joseph suffered for the cause of the Lord, for the cause of God, for the cause of Jehovah. Excuse me. What does it take for us to give up on the Lord? What does it take for us to no longer be faithful to our Lord? Does someone have to criticize us? And us, we shy away from God's will for our life. Do we have to have some financial problems, some kind of turmoil in our life, and suddenly we're not in church anymore because we have more important things to do? What does it take for us to turn our back on God? You know, Joseph is a really good picture of Jesus Christ. He comes to his brothers, he gives them God's word, and they reject him and they hate him for it. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus came to his own, they received him not. They didn't know him. He created the world, and the world knew him not. We see that Joseph was mistreated. He was abused by his brothers. By his stripes, we are healed. It pleased the Father to bruise him. We see in Isaiah chapter 53, we're not going to go there now for sake of time, but you can read about all the suffering that Jesus Christ went through. Joseph is humiliated, Philippians chapter 2. This might be a new, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about that as a paraphrase. The fact is that Jesus Christ humbled himself unto death. Joseph is tempted. Hebrews chapter 4 and 15 tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way that you and I are. He went through all that temptation, but he came through without sin. We see that Joseph is falsely accused and wrongfully punished. Again, Isaiah chapter 53 shows that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he knew no sin, but he was made sin for us. We can see that Joseph is forgotten. How often do we read about the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 that left their first love, that forgot even what the Lord had done for them? We, even Christians, forget our Lord so easily and what he's done for us. And finally, one of my favorite verses to go to, I think I even went here when I was here last time, Hebrews chapter 12, we'll go to verse 2. Joseph, going through all of that and being faithful to his Lord, we see that our Lord Jesus, in verse 2 of chapter 12, look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now Joseph was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful through all the trials, all the tribulations, all the difficulties. And then finally, Joseph was lifted up. And the Lord showed Joseph why it is that he went through all that. He didn't go through all that to punish Joseph. He didn't go through all that because God hated him so much. The reason he allowed Joseph to go through all those things was because there was a world that needed saving. The Egyptian people would have died in that famine if Joseph hadn't suffered those things. His brothers and sisters, his family would have died in the famine if it weren't for the suffering that the Lord allowed him to go through. His brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What is it that we go through? What is it that we think is some great trial in our lives? What does it take for us to be unfaithful to our Lord? One day, maybe not even in this life, one day we'll see that the Lord did it for a reason. Maybe to show someone else his power, his strength. Maybe someone else can see, even though we're humbled, even though we're in prison, we're in slavery, we're just being abused and mistreated, that it's clear that that person knows the Lord. And the Lord can use you wherever you are. At whatever point you are in your life, the Lord can use you and he can get glory from your life if you allow him to. Jesus Christ is our great example. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. He did that for you and I. And now we sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's see Jesus Christ as our ultimate example. And let's see, we can see Joseph and some other men in God's word that can also be examples for us. How we ought to serve our Lord no matter our circumstances.